Let's dive a little bit deeper into this Auburn versus Missouri game and hear what Hugh has to say.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. We're ready to get after it, get this week kicked off, put the weekend, dive a little bit deeper into the weekend, and then hopefully put it behind us and talk about Kentucky coming up at, obviously this next weekend. But we're going to look into the post-game press conference. I think Hugh says a lot of good things that we can have some discussion about and just kind of break it down from there. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $100 or even another $100 back to play with. You can do that up to $1,000. Absolutely free just by using the coupon code next round. So hit the sports book, hit any kind of sports line, betting line that you can imagine, and have some fun. So check them out, mybookie.ag. I want to go through the post-game press conference. May start doing this a little bit more, just really get into the mind of Hugh, kind of feel the emotion a little bit as well, and just see, pick out some stuff that we can highlight. It was a short press conference. It was a little over 6 minutes. We're going to go through a couple of the questions. This was sort of just his opening monologue about not making enough plays.
Continue to battle. Our kids fought hard. We're not making enough plays or making enough right calls at times to win these close games right now, obviously. And it's disappointing for the Auburn family, disappointing for our administration, for our team, for our kids, our coaches. It's a difficult year where it seems nothing is going quite your way when you need it to. You know, third quarter, we have a really good drive and down there, and, you know, I thought the fade ball was a really good ball, and we just, you know, we got to make those plays and score. We got to make those field goals or, just to keep our momentum, but we seem to not make the right call as coaches or the right play from time to time in critical moments still. And that's kind of been the story of the whole year. And obviously it hurt to lose a turnover today too, but, it's just disappointing.
Yeah. Disappointing is the word of the day, word of the year, maybe. But not making enough plays and then not making enough of the right calls. I like that he put it on both sides. You know, obviously they got to make some better calls in situations. And then when the calls are made, you got to make the plays. And obviously he talked about the third quarter drive to possibly go up 24-6 and really seize control of the game. And you make a good call and you didn't make a play. But on the flip side, you know, early in the game, you're in the red zone. It's 3rd and 5 and you have a complete, you know, bonehead – I don't want to say bonehead play call, because anytime a play doesn't work, people call it a bad play. And sometimes that's not necessarily the case. Execution has something to do with it. But you call a rollout play and on 3rd down and 5. I mean, 3rd down and 5, you don't have to do anything crazy. You would hope you got some 5-yard plays in the bag, but it's a sprint out to the left side, which is a little bit tougher for a right-handed quarterback to make that throw. And Jarquez whiffs a block, or either the defensive guy makes a big play, and it just completely negates a, you know, very attainable first down in the red zone to early in the game to really go in and try to seize momentum early, but you couldn't do it. I don't know. That was a really good drive too, where there had been a lot of good plays, a lot of good execution, and then you get down there to the red zone. But again, that's sort of the story of the season. You make a good call, and then you can't make the play. You make a or you make a bad call and it kind of looks like a mess. So that's sort of, again, that's sort of been the theme of the season. Going into the long pass play, this was right there at the end of the game. Someone asked him about the long pass play that Auburn gave up, and here's his answer to that.
Yeah, it was definitely a turning point that gave them some momentum, and you know, it'd been nice for us to see them have to drive down the field after our missed field goal, but I don't know what down and distance it was on the long completion. Those explosive plays are devastating to us when you're it was really, I thought our defense was, it was really hard for them to sustain drives of a long length. But man, when you give them explosive plays like that, they're going to score points. And that was definitely a turning point in the momentum for sure.
It's weird how Auburn can play so good on defense for so long. But if you go back and really think about it, there's almost a big play given up in every single game. And I don't really know. I can't really put my finger on what that is. I don't know if it's composure. I might need to go look at who the person is that's supposed to be in coverage each time. I mean, you go back, you think about Arkansas, obviously Oklahoma, now Missouri. I'm not sure. I can't remember if Georgia had one of those, but they were just sort of, you know, they were just sort of super physical anyway. But yeah, it's weird how it's like one a game, you're going to have a big play that sort of changes all the momentum of the game. The down and distance was 3rd and 10. So you had, that's the drive Brady Cook came back in. You made two good plays. I think they had a drop pass and then a really good defended ball on 1st and 2nd down. And then on 3rd down, they get their 3rd best receiver on Keontae Scott, and he makes a play, and then he's gone. Off to the races. It's just, you had been making them earn it the whole game. Like this, it's just time after time. And I understand at some point in time, it gets a little bit deflating to continue to give your offense the ball back. I can't think of, there had to be so many 3 and outs that Auburn forced them into, to continue to give you the ball back, And then you just couldn't really capitalize. It's tough. And that's where leadership has to take over. That's where focus has to be locked in, and it has to be life or death. And for some, it doesn't seem like it's quite that. It doesn't seem like it's quite there yet. Some of the younger guys, it seems like it's more meaningful than some of the older guys. But it's just more of the makeup, more of the character of your team to be able to stand up and make a play when you got to make a play. I mean, it just sort of is what it is. It's Auburn's just not there yet. I don't know if they have enough of them or if they have they need to have more of a culture change. I don't really know the answer, but time after time, game after game, you keep looking and there's a big play that's given up that really changes the sort of the momentum of the game. Another question was asked about mistakes, killing drives, penalties, things like that. And here's his answer on that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I mean, we had one really good drive, and, man, we go tempo play, we throw a screen out there, get 10 yards, get a holding call. You know, it comes back. And then we didn't block well on the perimeter on that series either, and would have had some more explosive runs, I think. And actually, that's the one we fumbled at when we didn't block real well on the perimeter. No excuse not to hold on to the ball, but we could have blocked it better for sure. But you know, that was a really good, mature, old, experienced defensive line, and we knew it'd be tough to hold up all the time against them if we couldn't stay balanced. And they got after us when they had to, but, you know, I thought we had a good plan for running the football and staying balanced, and probably should have took a few more shots on early downs. Looking back, that's, you know, you wish you would have, but there'll be 100 of those when you watch the film.
Mistakes. and he mentioned, I got two of them, and I'm going to harp in on the one he just mentioned. And this was in consecutive drives. Okay. So this seems to be another Achilles heel of Auburn is offensive penalties. And this is one thing why I think you have to continue to throw the ball. This is why I think you have to lean on the explosiveness of this offense with this particular team, because if you go long sustained drives, if you go multi-play drives, eventually there's going to be some sort of mistake, I feel like. It just sort of is how this team sort of is at this point in time. So if you go multiple plays, you're going to have a holding call. You're going to have a sack or something crucial that's going to really put the offense in a bind. So look at this is the play the drive that he was talking about with the fumble on first and 10. You get a run for 14 yards. So great play there. You throw an incomplete pass on first and 10. The second go around, then you throw a pass to get back to third and manageable. So it's seconds, third and four, you get a first down. Okay. So you got two first downs in a row. You're throwing the ball pretty good. And then you throw that screen he's talking about, first and 10, throws a screen that gets, you're on Missouri side of the football, on Missouri side of the field now. It gets 5 yards, close to a little bit over 5 yards, but there's a holding call. So now you're back to first and 15 at the Missouri's 45, and then you have the read option deal that you fumble. It's just it's tough. And then the very next drive, you get a first down and you get a horse collar also, and so you're all the way on Missouri side of the field after first couple of plays. You're all the way down to the 33. And then Thorne, scrambles, I think, up the middle for maybe a yard, but you get a holding call. So then you go all the way back to the 43. So you lose 10 yards. Then we throw the little throwback screen, which was a great play, great setup, but Thorne was a little bit off the mark and Rivaldo showed little to no effort, to try to make the play and still be, have his knees up off the ground. Now, it was a bad throw. Don't get me wrong. It was bad. It was off balance. It was behind him. It was a tough play to make, but there was little to no effort there whatsoever to try to make the play and keep going, and it was set up really, really well. So now you're second and 25. You get a pass to get a couple of yards back, and then you get it to third and 10, and you can't convert. So that was a good drive that you had a couple first downs, penalty messes you up, then you have poor execution, just mistakes that just kill drives. I just feel like you got to be explosive. You got to go take the top off. You got to throw the ball down the field. You got to run your offense. And it's just it's tough to see sometimes because you kind of feel it coming. You kind of feel that eventually the mistake's going to come and it's going to kill the drive. You got to get it. I think you just got to go. You got to try to score. Every single play, you got to be thinking about pushing it and going. So let's keep going. Before we finish the show off, let's give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Stop fooling around with your future. Stop fooling around with your retirement. Give Ford a shout. Let him look at your portfolio completely free. Go to my retirementresults.com/plan. Get that free portfolio analysis and over $1,500 value. No cost to you whatsoever. Stop paying senseless fees. Let's take advantage of some products that can help us close that gap and continue to grow at the most efficient manner. There's no risk whatsoever. Check him out. Tell him where you go. Tell him we sent you. Make a friend at the same time. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. All right, let's keep going. Got a couple more clips. This is about Cam Coleman and his touchdown, and should we have seen more of him, and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, I don't know. When you call a pass play, you're not real sure where it's going to go or what coverage they're going to play. So it wasn't like we called a couple others that I thought really he would have had a good chance to. But and obviously, we were trying to run the football. And they pretty much took away the RPO game, which I felt like Corey would. And he did a good job with that. But, we were able to get some good rushes because of it. but they won their share of battles up front too.
Again, Cam had the longest play of the day, I believe. Missouri was doing a lot, in my opinion, based off of what I've seen, to limit that too. They were trying to force Auburn into intermediate passing or running the football. They were trying to do everything they could, two deep safeties almost every single play. So there, it was really hard for Auburn to push it. The one time you did get a chance, you took it to, you hit Cam, and obviously you scored a touchdown. They asked it, should you go on to him more? And it's hard when it's a – now, it's hard when it's live and in the game to draw up a play where only one person gets the – you know, it's featured to one person. Now, there's some times where – you can run little gadget stuff and get it to him. And you did a lot of that with Malcolm. But when it's just a pass play, you don't really know a lot of times how the defense is going to react and who's actually going to be open until post-snap. So I think, like you said, there's other plays where it was sort of drawn up for him, but they just took it away. So Missouri had a really good game plan, kind of like I felt like they would, is to force Auburn into running the ball. Daring them to sort of throw the ball, but taking the top, keeping the top of the lid on the top. So they had to stay underneath. And if you made Auburn drive, eventually they would make a mistake. And they executed that perfectly. Their defensive line sort of whipped our offensive line as well. Let's talk about the kicker. A lot of questions about kicker, kicker health. What's going on with Towns? And here's what he had to say.
No, I don't think anything health wise is troubling him. Just he was in a kicker slump, I guess you'd say. And hopefully, Towns is closer. I mean, Alex is closer health wise for some shorter ones probably. And probably have to look at that too.
Well, that was the first time I've really seen the talk of Alex possibly coming back in and playing. He's healthy enough to maybe take some short field goals. What does short mean? The one that was missed was pretty short. I guess maybe anything under 40 yards, hopefully. But you're hoped. It's kind of like with kickers. Look, it's kickers is a lot like a golf game. It's a lot of times it's between your ears. Towns has all the ability in the world. We've seen it. He can kick it from 60. He can go 7 for 7 like he did in the 8A game. Something's off a little bit, and I think it's confidence. And you hope that eventually he'll kick his way out of it, but you don't really have a ton of options. As you just heard, Alex, all he can do right now is probably the short yardage, that may be something they have to look at. So the shorter field goals, it may have to be Alex moving forward. I think they're going to, if Alex is healthy enough, they're definitely going to give him a shot. It's becoming sort of imperative that they get this figured out because this is continuing to be a thing. Last couple of clips, two more clips. This one's about giving up big plays, especially on that last drive, just not being locked in and giving up different types of plays as well.
Quarterback scrambles, explosive pass plays, and we give up a few right there at the end. There was another 3rd and 10. We played really too soft and gave them an easy throw to the chains. And you get a senior quarterback with, talented receivers. That's going to be hard. And we're playing a bunch of freshmen back there. But I thought they played extremely hard and played well enough to win. We've got to score more points than 17 on a day like today.
I'm glad he said the last piece. You got to score more than 17. So even though those things that he mentioned did happen, you got to score more points. You can't keep leaving your defense out there on an island hoping they'll continue to give you the ball back over and over again, which they did all game long. But on that last drive, it was funny how there was multiple ways that they were getting first downs. You'd have a 3rd and long and then a quarterback with a hobbled foot scrambles for a first down. You lose contain. Senior, that knows what his job is, losing contain on that. Then you have, you know, a third and 10 where you give up a cushion, a big cushion, and, you know, they just throw it right to the chains like that. And then you have, you know, a good catches, and then you have fourth downs where you bring the house and they beat you one-on-one like that. That last drive, it just sort of seemed inevitable that it was going to happen. And it did. It's just, you got to score more points. You can't keep putting your defense out on a string. You got to get it done because they're good enough. This defense is good enough to win a lot of games if you have any kind of support from the offense. Last clip is more about red zone, especially the one in particular where you missed the field goal. And we have some red zone talk, and then we'll get out of here. Let's see what he has to say.
So the first was an RPO, and we had Robert. Wish we'd have had a bigger guy there. But I honestly think it hit his hands. I mean, I'd have to see the film. I thought it was a really good throw, and, you know, we got to make those plays to win games. I'm not sure. You'll have to tell me what the next two plays were. I can't remember what throw that was. Then obviously we tried to get it back in field.
Yeah, so the red zone there where we missed the field goal. One thing that people, I've been hearing people say, and maybe there's something to this, but, you know, if you throw, you make the perfect call, you make the perfect throw, and then Robert Lewis doesn't make the play, the question is, why is Robert Lewis in there? And it's easy to say that if you could just freeze time, take Robert Lewis out of the play, and put Cam Coleman in there in the exact same spot. So, in a lot of times in people's mind, that's how that works. Or if you just run someone else and run the exact same play, it would work out the exact same way. You would just have the better receiver there to catch the ball. It wasn't a jump ball. It was a touch pass. It was right in the bread basket. And, like, who's to say that if you put Cam Coleman over there, he doesn't get some sort of bracketed coverage? Who's to say if you put Keandre Lambert-Smith over there, they don't play it. They play it completely different, and they take away that deep route. Like, we can't just say you just take a guy out and put another guy in, and boom, it would have fixed it. It doesn't work that way. It's sort of putting a different receiver over there may have changed the whole outlook of the whole play. Robert Lewis over there may have been the reason why that play was open the way it was. And he makes those catches. You got to make them, man. You got to have somebody that's got some, you know what's, that can sack up in a spot like that and make a play. So a lot of frustration over Saturday, and a game that there's just real, you had no business losing. You had every opportunity to win. And we talked about it on the reaction show. It wasn't just one opportunity. It was multiple opportunities throughout the game to seal that one, and you couldn't do it. So we're going to be talking about it all week. We're going to get ready for Kentucky and really got to get on a heater here if you want to make a bowl, if you want to try to salvage anything. And honestly, salvage, you know, there hasn't been any yet, but you got to start worrying about I'm sure you got to start worrying about recruiting. Everything's going to be getting more and more expensive. How high can you actually go? You got to hang in there. You got to hang in there, and you got to solidify this class, because the roster in the class is the most important thing from henceforth. You got to get it. Got to get it nailed down. So, guys, I really appreciate you listening. Hang in there. There's hopefully some bright days ahead. And we're obviously going to be here when they get here. So if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Subscribe to thebarnauburn.com. You can get some little bit behind the curtain info, especially on some of the locker room stuff going on. And we've shared some of that. And, you know, just overall have a really good conversation, even though it's not bright right now. I feel like we're all being respectful, and it's still a lot of fun. So join in the fun, and we'll mix it up. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again every single day this week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.